This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is The Woods,
Grr.
The show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios.
Woof, Grr.
This is Big Bear Mark, and I'm in the woods tonight with Bear Curious Dean. Hey, Dean, how you going?
Hold the door, Mark.
Oh, no.
Hold the door and grab the dog tag.
You just made me sad about the door.
No spoilers.
That was so sad.
It was a little bit sad.
It was so sad.
But let's grab the dog tags and let's get happy.
Yes, because, and also we've got Jess James in the studio as well.
Hey,
James.
Hi, Mike. I had a couple of weeks off, but good to be back.
Yes, I was off last week too.
Oh,
yeah. So we left good to be back.
We left the others to play hold the fort, right?
Yes, that's right. And Robbie's now off to Nashville.
Well, gallivanting around the world. Lucky man.
He is. But we've got quite a few good-looking chaps in tonight. And I say chaps, but I should probably say pups. Because they're all pups.
They are indeed. And they're all frolicking around the room on all fours at the moment.
We're wagging their tails. We have in the studio, we've got Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going?
We've got Dylan.
Good afternoon.
And we've got Taylor.
Hello.
Hello, guys. Nice to meet you all. And you're in... We're going to talk about a part of it, and I hope I'm using the right terminology, a group that you're a part of called VicPAR. Who wants to give us a rundown about what VicPAR actually is?
VicPAR is a social group of just like-minded people who identify as pups or handlers or interested into pet play or animal role play kind of stuff.
Right. So pups. Pup play.
So now, let me get this right. You all identify as pups?
Yes.
Yep. Yes. And so we've got no handlers here. We've just got pups in the room. And this is it's quite a big subject because there's quite a lot to go into. This is something that I've only heard of in the last couple of years, I have to admit. It really seems to have taken off in the bear scene and in the gay scene especially. What with your group, are you a gay group or do you open up to everyone? What's the structure of the group?
Yeah, so we allow every gender diverse and gender fluid people to be involved. So all types of genders, sexualities, everyone's welcome.
Including straight people?
Including straight people, yeah. So it's for everyone, yeah.
Would you say that your group is mainly queer or is it half and half? What's the percentage, do you think?
A majority of our group is gay, but we do have people who are gender diverse. We also have a few straight people in our group. We're really open to getting more people in any community that is interested in pup play or animal play or becoming a handler.
I have got so many questions about pup play. But if you're listening and you've got a question about pup play, if you want to know about pup play, puss play, human dog play, I don't know, all the different types of play, if you've got a question, now's the time to ask 0427 joy949 or email in at onair@joy.org.au. If you have a question about pet adoption or worming or fleas, save those questions for Pet Aloud on a Saturday at 3 p.m.
Exactly.
That's not for
today. That's not for today.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about pup play.
Now, let me just get this perfectly clear out the front. We're not talking about bestiality or anything like that. God,
absolutely
no.
Absolutely not.
No. We're talking about human pup play, basically.
So pretending to be dogs, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, so think of it as like a role play aspect. So taking on a character and going with it and taking on the characteristics, not necessarily being interested in the animal itself.
So how far do you go? Do you have like animal names? Like do you have like Rover and Rex?
Yeah, so two of us out of the three here tonight have names. So my pup name is Terra and Taylor's.
Yeah, my name's Tycho.
Uh-huh.
And mine's a work in progress. So.
Oh, you're still working through it. So if you've got any ideas for names, 0427 Joy949.
And we can name Dylan tonight, shall we? We can give him a name.
I think Fang would make a good name for Dylan.
Fang,
it's a great dog's name.
I don't know, maybe Buff because you're a boot blacker or something.
That would incorporate both of them.
Yeah.
Why not?
with the group, now, obviously, how many people do you come along or are involved with VicPAR?
Well, we have actively, we've got about 50 to 70 members. But in terms of overall, we've got about 350, which makes us one of the largest pub groups in the world.
Wow, that's huge. And now, I was talking to you before the show, Taylor. Now, you know a little bit about the history. Now, as I said, for me, this is kind of new, but you're telling me before the show, it's not really. It's been around overseas for a while. What's the sort of history of pub play?
Well, I'll try to keep it short.
Yeah.
But thousands and thousands of years ago, well, yes, that is actually accurate as well, because in the original term, it's called anthropomorphism. When you take on the spirit of an animal.
Which I've heard with furries, they have the furries, they use that term as well.
And many cultures have had that for millennia. And it wasn't until about the 60s that the gay community took it on in the BDSM scene and the kink scene, which started off, which highly debated if it started in America or Europe. But it became more mainstream first in America, and it wasn't until about the 90s that it started appearing in Europe, and it only started really becoming popular in Australia about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So in 2 years, you've already got 300 followers. 300. Yes. Now, is it members of? Is it 300 people in the pack, or is it just a group of people?
It's just a group. A pack is more considered more personal, like a family, while Vic Parr is more just a social group of just like-minded individuals.
Fantastic.
So when someone says puppy play, how would you describe that, like, to our listeners? What would be puppy play?
So puppy play for me is the act of getting on all fours and taking on that mindset of a puppy. So a very carefree nature, explorative nature, having a bit of fun and not really worrying about the other woes of the world, just kind of getting into this nice headspace where you don't have to worry about your day-to-day life issues. It's just kind of taken on as, just a carefree spirit. And I think they're the basis of being a pup, and anything added on that is what you make of it. But I think those are like those kind of key elements for me, at least.
So, Anthony, when you say that, I sort of think of the local dog park in my suburb, and you got all the dogs are outside playing. So when you speak about this freedom and this playing as a pup, are you outdoors, or are you doing it in the privacy of your own home?
It varies. So people can do it in outdoors settings. A lot of people want to organise a camp that we're hopefully going to be organising later in next year. But for me personally, it's more an indoors experience. Generally, I do it at home, but also with the Vic Parr group, we do run a monthly mosh, which is where all the pups get together in a social setting and allow them to get on a, we've got probably like a 10 metre by 5 metre mat that everyone can kind of kneel down on, get on all fours and have some really good fun together in a social setting.
Fight over a bone or two and...
Yeah, well, we have plenty of toys for everyone to play with. Lots of squeaky toys and bouncy balls.
Ball pit coming.
And a ball pit coming, apparently, so...
A ball pit? Wow!
That's amazing. And look, and I kind of think, because, you know, when people say, oh, you know, I want to be reincarnated as my dog because that's the life, really, you guys aren't waiting. You're just getting in there now and having the life. We will be coming back and talking about this. Again, if you want to get involved in the conversation, please give us an email or an SMS. 0427JOY949 is the SMS, and onair@joy.org.au is the email address. You're on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
For all things bear, cub, otter or wolf and any other woodland creature, The Woods on Joy 94.9.
That's right. And tonight we're talking about pup play and the pups and handlers. We've got three pups in the room. We've got Anthony, Dylan and Taylor in the room.
And three bears.
And three bears. We've got three bears and three pups. That's right. But we've
it's
also
a real menagerie tonight.
Yes. But James, we've had a message in, I believe.
We have indeed. A message from Ken of Docklands who wants to know, and I think, do you put your hand up for this one? Do they make pup noises and bark?
Oh, yes. In fact, for me and my pups and my small pack, I have one of the things that we enjoy doing is howling in unison.
Right.
Not at something in particular. We're just usually I start howling and they both join in.
And is there any particular time of the day that you do that? Just
no,
when you feel like it.
I even bark in that when I wake up. And in fact, for a lot of people, it's usually their first way into pup play is just in the privacy of their home. They can bark and yip and howl. And
I'm just curious about how much of your time do you guys actually spend? How much does it vary from person to person? How much would you spend in the role of
it
a pup?
It varies a lot. Yeah. You've got some people that you could consider all-consuming. Right. And then those
they
that
live
just
their lives as a pup.
Yeah. And then you've got those that do it in just a social setting or that.
Right.
Okay. How did you guys get involved in pup play? Taylor, how did you get involved?
I first heard about it about 5 years ago, and I thought, this sounds interesting. And it wasn't until about a year and a half ago that I was like coming to learn more about myself, and I was like, this is a part that I identify with, and went down the avenue and step by step. Yeah.
Dylan, what about you?
My kind of first experience was going to a kink workshop. It was basically the 101 on what pup play was. So they got us to come in, put a hood on, be on all fours, and kind of walk around, do commands. But I've always kind of had a inkling of, you know, wearing a collar and a leash and being on all fours and tied to a post and yeah, like crazy.
And can you be a bad puppy?
Well, handlers me, love cheeky puppies.
Do they?
For me, I get really excessively cheeky when I'm a pup. I will roll around, tumble, and steal socks if I get the chance.
Lovely. And
Anthony. Yeah.
Anthony.
Yeah, so I first kind of saw it as I think a lot of pups would on Tumblr, the wonderfulness of it. There's a lot of pups on there that like to be quite photogenic and put a lot of stuff up. And then last year while I was travelling in Europe, as Taylor said earlier, it's quite popular over there. I met a few handlers on some social apps, and they got me involved into it and really kind of showed me the ropes, got me down on all fours, and I just have loved it ever since.
Anthony, now I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Why did you get? What's attractive about this?
So as I said earlier, the carefree nature of it, and just that ability. I have a quite stressful job in my personal life, and the ability just to let go and have all those stresses and worries just be lifted off my shoulders and not have to worry about those things is really appealing. And also, similar to Dylan, I've always had that fondness of collars and being on all fours before I found pup play as well. So it just kind of added two things into one.
I also want to talk about, now we talked a little bit before the show, and I understand that this may not be an easy question to answer, but is there a structure to it, and what roles are there? I've heard about handlers and masters and alphas and pups. What are those roles, and what's the structure?
Yeah, so there's enough terminology out there to make its own urban dictionary,
yeah,
really. But the main ones out there, you've got, well, clearly pups. They're the ones that take on that dog persona on themselves. And then you have handlers, which keep their human side. So they're like an actual human taking care of a pet dog, that they make sure the pup is safe and taken care of. And that during scenes and situations. Yeah, those would be the main ones.
We've had another message in, and it fits in right now. Can you identify as both a pup and a handler, or are they very separate roles?
Yes, there's really no... There's no do-nots, really. It's right. As long as everyone's safe, sane, and consensual, then anything goes.
Yeah, I think you could think of it as akin to someone who's a dom switch or a sub switch, so they're able to take on the two roles depending on the situation. So there's plenty of pups and handlers that also take on that, where with particular people they'd be more a handler. So I think if you've got someone who's quite new to being a pup, you could easily take on the role as a handler if you're more experienced as being a pup, and show someone the ropes without necessarily having to get down on all fours with them.
And I believe there's alpha and beta pups as well. Anthony, do you want to handle that one?
Yeah, so there's a social structure, I would say, within smaller packs. So usually they're broken down into three categories of alphas, betas, and omegas. So alphas are usually seen as the top dog. You kind of notice it with your own pets. If you've got more than one dog, usually one of them kind of takes charge, and that's usually the alpha.
Yeah.
Betas are usually kind of that second in command type of dog. And then you've got omegas, who are more the pranksters and the, you know, little cheeky ones that need a bit more pulling their head in every now and then.
And is there anything of a kind of a chronology? Like, do you have in your mind when you're playing these roles, do you have an age? Are you a particular... Because, you know, puppies grow and they get from being playful. What do you guys do with that?
Yeah, so after chatting with a few different people within the community, I do know a few people who have developed from pups into dogs. So they're kind of... They take that cross-section of they're no longer as childish as what a pup would be.
Right.
And they're a little bit more well-trained and... but that's not for everyone, as Taylor said earlier. You could fill a dictionary with the amount of terms and definitions for just
I know, I mean, I know with my own dog at home, like he's grown, he's 7 or 8 years old, but he can turn into a pup really easily.
Yeah, like, exactly. You know, like, so, it's very fluid, and it's what you make of it, really, in the end of the day. There's no, as Taylor said, do's or don'ts. It's just do's, really.
I do have one interesting question, because in my mind, being older and having problems with knees and joints and all those things, you know, like, if you get into a game, if your handler throws the ball and you're having a bit of a play that way, do you have to stay on all fours? Like, if you're ball chasing, can you do you get up on two legs and chase, or how does it work?
It's really up to the people involved. In my personal opinion, if you're injured and they're forcing you to do something that will cause more injury, then clearly something's wrong. For me personally, if someone throws a ball and I don't want to chase it, well, I'm a pup, I don't have to chase it. They could tell me to go fetch. I'm like, well, I don't speak English, I'm a pup.
My dog actually won't fetch balls. He kind of looks at me as if to say, you threw it, you get it. So he's with
and
you on that.
There's plenty of pups just like that.
Yeah.
So as we were saying, it's a very personal thing about... Taylor, can you describe your circumstance where you fit into a structure and what your structure is?
Yeah, so mine... So I have a handler, which... He is dominant and I'm submissive to him, but I'm also an alpha pup. So I have two pups of my own in my own little pack, and so I'm dominant to them. One's a beta, one's an omega as well.
How are you dominant to them if you're a pup?
More of a guidance in terms of body language and that, and giving them advice even when you're not in that pup headspace, as you're kind of seen as the older figure that makes sure they're safe and taken care of.
And Dylan, what about you? Now, you're... have you got a structure, or you are just a freelance pup?
Well, I have a handler who I'm in a polyamorous relationship with. I've also live with my housemate, who's also technically my alpha. He's a fox. He's not eat videos. He goes into pup space. So it's kind of a polyamorous open relationship.
So as I said earlier, I mean, I've seen a lot of bears get into pup play recently, and obviously in the kink scene, it's quite... There's a lot of crossover, I would believe. Anthony, is that the case?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of crossover. So pup play is kind of like that base kink, in a sense, where it's similar to the sub-dom relationship, and you can build upon that. So you can add in different things, maybe like water sports or bondage or any type of kink-related thing can kind of be thrown on top of pup play. And it just adds for that variety and that interest into it, that's not necessarily just a one-sided type of kink. It's actually a multifaceted type of interesting type of play that it can cater to pretty much anyone in a different manner. And that's just the sexual side of things. You could also look at the social side and making friends and having packs that are, you know, a supportive group there for you.
Because one of your events that you do, the Munch, is it's a social event, really, where you get together to go out to dinner, is it?
Yeah, so we go out to the Yorkshire pub down in Abbotsford. You know, we all go down there just to have a palmer and a pot and just relax, hang out, talk, relax. There's no real technical pupness to it. It's just more a group of friends going out, but we all have that common element of being pups or handlers. So
yeah, so that's one side of it. Now, one side I think our listeners might be really interested is in the sexual side to it. Is there a sexual component to pup play?
Yes, but is not necessary. In fact, last year was the first ever scientific study done on pup play, and they found that only a quarter of people who do pup play do sexual as well as social. A vast majority just do purely social.
Okay, that's interesting. And I suppose with a lot of kink, that kind of is definitely the case. Sex is only a small part of that relationship. And so what about... Okay, I'm going to get personal. So do you guys fit into the sexual or non-sexual part of that?
I definitely fit into the sexual side of things. So I've got my alpha and our omega, and we all play together. We're all interested in different things. It's just one of those things. But I definitely like the social side just as much as the sexual side. I'd say I'm more involved in the social side than the sexual side.
The sexual side is just like not every day normal relationships, basically. You don't have a sexual side at some point with some people.
Yeah, it's just that added bonus extra on top of the rest of it.
So people shouldn't come along to VicPar and go, it's a sex club, because it's not.
No, it's not. It's all purely social. Obviously, you can meet people from there and then go on to have meaningful relationships with them if you hit it off. But the premise is to have a social, fun, inviting, safe space for people to socially play as pups.
Very good.
I'm intrigued. How do you... Sometimes people struggle to meet the right one, the right person for them. How do you find an omega and an alpha and a beta? What's the process? Do you put an ad in the paper? Is there a Facebook group for this?
I met mine through friends. That's how I did it.
And is there a conversation that says, I'm an alpha, are you an omega?
No, I think that's more of a natural evolution, similar to a sub-dom. People are naturally dominant, people are naturally submissive. So I think once you've kind of met, talked, explored, it kind of just naturally falls into place. No one's appointed a role necessarily when it comes to that section of the structure, I guess, if you guys have similar experiences.
Yeah, so I met my pups on apps, but I met my handler at a pub. Uh-huh. And with my handler and me, it's 99% social. But with my pups, it's probably 60% sexual. There's still a huge social element that's important.
And Dylan?
For me, it kind of, because I didn't get into pups headspace until later. I sort of met my partner, who's my dom, about a couple of years ago at a pub. A couple of years after that was progressing, I met my kind of alpha slash other partner through mutual friends. And we kind of slowly progressed through there by chatting, talking, and then moved from there.
Okay. If you want to get involved in this so very interesting conversation, please do so. 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS. On air at joy.org.au is the email. You're on the woods on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt Albert from San Francisco.
Well, then you can find a way to make it out here, too.
You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9.
And if I can make it to the middle of this tightrope.
You're with Big Bear Mark, Beck, here is Dean, and just James in
James
the woods.
James having a puppy fit because that man gives me the serious playful urges.
Oh, Matt Arbour, yes. We also have in the studio tonight from VicPAR, which is the Victorian Puppy and Handlers. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Guys, we've got Anthony, we've got Dylan, and we've got Taylor. I knew I'd get it right there in the end. One thing we're getting towards now, I want to ask you about, obviously, puppy play is, it's got to do with power exchange, and you have to obviously have some trust in that. How do you negotiate trust and that power exchange play?
It's definitely not something that just happens overnight.
No.
And it happens before you really get into the pup headspace. You talk about it, you know safe words, they still help. and knowing that different, you have to communicate a lot with body language. So it's not as simple as saying less, more, stop, go, keep going. It's a bit more complicated than traditional.
So there is safe word. There's all safe action, safe words.
Yes.
Yeah, that you have. It's almost a typical dom sub, but with a bit of more.
Yeah, not quite.
Not quite.
But it doesn't have to be though.
Yeah.
Their element is the dom and sub is like heavily ingrained in it, but there is the element that there is no dom and sub in it. So you can be a freelance pump just running around crazy without a dom or mistress.
Right. And one thing we talked about in the break, which I want to bring up now, is that thing about, you mentioned before, it's a very good way to de-stress, and it's a very good way, but that obviously then it would attract people with depression and people like that. Is this a big part of the community about knowing about this as well?
Well, in any community, basically, it's really good to know that where people as a whole stand on being open and honest about being depression and not being stigmatizing someone for it.
Yep.
And yeah, we get a lot of young people who, again, this is speculation, that they have either had depression or anxiety or being extremely introverted and haven't really spoken much to people. But the idea of you either get on all fours or put a hood on, and you can let that go. For a lot of people, it's letting it go and not having to worry about what's happening tomorrow or what's happening in the next hour.
Anthony, with the community, how aware are you of the possibility of abuse and mental abuse in this sort of power exchange situation?
It definitely would come up, similar as like we've always been saying, this sub-dom relationship. It can surface in certain relationships if there isn't proper communication or expectations from both sides. So I think if you haven't had clear communication about what you both expect from each other outside of pup play, so actually sitting down as people and discussing it face-to-face, saying, these are my limits, this is how I want this to play out, I'm comfortable doing this, I'm not comfortable doing that, and as long as those boundaries are respected, the relationship can flourish. But I think because, similar to the sub-dom, people can sometimes have expectations of how pups should act and be, and if you don't meet that, they can become abusive. And I think that's for each individual pup kind of to look out for themselves and to understand that, you know, it's not okay to feel like crap in a relationship or in that relationship. And I think Taylor in the Pup Info website that we have does explain a lot of that kind of, you know, safe play and safe space.
I wanted to ask about, have you guys had any negative experiences? Are people critical, or have you had any experiences where people are judgmental? What kind of, has that worked?
I personally haven't, but I know of an issue that happened at one of the moshes once. Mm-hmm. Was that someone went up and struck a pup.
Can we explain what a mosh is for people?
So the mosh is like where we all get together and socially pup out on a big mat together. So everyone gets on all fours, gets geared up.
Like you were talking about earlier. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was an instance where a handler struck a pup that wasn't his pup.
Right.
And that was quite out of line. That person was quite upset regarding that, because although that's the way that handler treated his pups, it's not how all pups like to be handled.
Yeah.
And there was a big discussion at the next mosh after it had been raised, and people were informed of, you know, that's not appropriate. And I think people sometimes, as a handler, sometimes do take that, this is how I treat my pups, this is how I should treat all pups.
And, you know, sorry to relate it back to like a real world with dogs situation, but if I was at the dog park and someone hit my dog, I would be,
you'd be furious.
Ropeable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the alpha of the pup that got struck was ropeable. Yeah. Was living.
Understandably, I think.
And I was thinking, I mean, even outside of your own community, what about family and what about friends and people that you know, who know what you do, that are not part of it? How do they react? What's your general kind of response from people?
Family terms, they don't know about it. I got brought up in a very conservative Mormon household, so that kind of just like don't share, don't tell kind of thing. But most of my friends know about my pup side and they see the lighter side of it when I yip or howl or bark at something. And
it's kind of funny because I relate back to, I had some furry friends when I was in Brisbane, and they said, I have to come out twice. I come out as gay, and then I have to come out as a furry. I respect it's a sort of the same thing for you guys.
Yeah, I'd say it's very similar. Yeah. Most of my friends are pretty comfortable with it. They've seen my hoods, and most of them are fairly... you know, sex positive, I guess would be the word.
That's not a phrase I ever thought I'd be listening to. They've seen my hoods. It's kind of different. I like it.
And obviously when you have this... Now, we've talked about a lot of things, but I expect you've talked about hoods there, but you'd have to have gear.
You have to.
Okay, can you explain about what the gear is and... whether you need it or don't need it, or, you know.
So the major gear that people get, that anyone should get, is safety gear. So that's knee pads, gloves, and that, because your knuckles and your knees aren't designed to be on the floor like that. So you should always, safety is paramount.
Yeah, I think I definitely need knee pads. And
But people get hoods. That can either be in leather or neoprene. Rubber. There's a wide range of types of hoods out there that you can find online.
And in fact, we'll be putting on the Woods Facebook page later a photo of Taylor in his hood, so you can see exactly. And you handmade that, and you actually handmade.
Yes,
your hoods
I handmade
as well.
Mine to match my pup breed that I personify.
And what's your pup breed?
So, unlike most people, that I'd say a decent amount of people that are the mainstream ones of like Labradors or Rottweilers and that, I'm an Icelandic sheepdog, which is more the out of the box ones.
And does that affect your personality? Because you, that sort of dog has a certain personality. It's like, a Rottweiler's got a different personality to a poodle. You know?
Yeah. While some people let their handlers choose the pup's breed.
Oh, okay.
For me, I chose to choose it myself. So I literally got myself a list of all these dog pictures that I liked, and then I looked up what their personality types were, and this one just leapt out of the internet. I was like, this so describes me.
I'm kind of liking the sound of this, because I think if I joined in something like this, I'd choose to be a St. Bernard. Because don't they carry something like a keg or
something?
I'd really like to be a St. Bernard. Can I be a St. Bernard?
I just have to say, I mean, we'll be talking about this more, but you guys have really actually changed my perception of what it is to be a pup and pup play tonight. Do you guys agree as well? 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS. The on-air at joy.org.au is email. You're on The Woods, and we'll be back in a sec.
Catch up or relive all The Woods has to offer. Listen to The Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
Sorry, guys, we do that every week.
it's a tradition.
We are talking about pup play tonight on The Woods. And we said earlier that you definitely can howl and do all that.
Especially if you don't get fed.
Well, yeah, that's my puppies. My real puppies. Now, it's the term biopup. Biopup is the real puppies. They will howl at me if I don't feed them at the right time. But that's,
I just learned that dogs should only be fed once a day.
Yep.
How do you guys feel about that in terms of your role plays?
Travesty.
I personally only eat a couple times a day, like twice a day anyway. So it's not
and you're supposed
for me.
To you're supposed to be hungry, because dogs eat when they run and catch things. So you can only eat what you catch.
I think dogs, if there's food there, they'll eat it, and that's why they get fat. So because they're opportunistic eaters, they'll only eat when there's food there.
Yeah.
Now look, tonight we've been talking about pup play, and if there are people out there that might be interested in what VicPa have to offer, how do they get involved?
So if you want to contact VicPa directly, you can email us at vicpa@pupplay.info. And if you want some resources online, we're building a very comprehensive and detailed website to inspire any newcomers, and even up to the advanced, long-term pups out there, and that's pupplay.info.
There you go. So you can get all your pup information at that site.
I'd say also, if you want to join us on Facebook, you can just search VicPa and join the group there, and one of our moderators will accept you and let you join. It is a private group, so if you are worried about your social friends finding out about it, you actually won't show up on your Facebook feed or anything like that.
One of the things I noticed when I looked at the pupplay.info, and also you mentioned earlier, Anthony, about Tumblr, is quite an aesthetic to it. I know we say we don't need to have the gear, but there is a lot of gear that you could have. And there's rubber and there's latex. And
yeah,
there's
so
all
there's
sorts of
like,
talk me through that.
You've got rubber pups, you've got leather pups, you've got neoprene pups, and then skin pups are just pups that don't like gear specifically. So I'm personally a leather pup, so I've got a leather hood, leather harness, you know.
And does leather attract leather?
Not necessarily, but all my pups in my pup pack are leather pups, so kind of, yeah.
And can I ask, how many hoods do you have?
I have two. So I have one neoprene one, which was the one I started off with.
I think one for day, one for night?
Almost, no. I'd say it's one. The neoprene one was a cheaper option when I first started out, something a little bit easier to get into. And then when I was a little bit more serious about getting gear, I bought a leather hood as it was more expensive.
Dylan?
I have a one hood at the moment. It's a rubber hood, basically.
Does that breathe?
Well, mine one does, because it's not covered all over the face. I've only just got the snout and the face of the dog and the ears.
And you're saying yes, but Taylor's there shaking his head going, no, no.
There are specific ones that actually cover the full face and has just a small hole in the mouth, which isn't as breathable as mine at all.
Yeah.
And Taylor, I know you make them out of neoprene, isn't it? That's your...
Yeah, it's neoprene and foam. My first hood, just bought online, is, neoprene. And the neoprene hoods are a good middle ground between rubber and leather. You can tell if you enjoy the thickness and sturdiness of the leather or the thinness and the slick of rubber.
Yeah.
And so with your next hood, you can go either way. But now, because also my hood is so unique, I'm learning how to make hoods from scratch.
And talking about hoods, one thing I haven't mentioned tonight is two of you have collars. Taylor, do you want to explain the significance of the collar that you've got on?
Well, a collar at the end of the day is what you make of it.
Right.
But a lot of pups, a collar signifies that they either belong in a pack or are owned by a handler. Like for my collar, which has a padlock on it, and it's never come off since it got put on.
Has your handler got the key?
He's still got both keys.
Got both keys.
I don't have my own.
You don't
key.
Have you, so you can't take it off if you want to.
And he's in the States at the moment. So.
Right. Yeah. And also, you've got a. Yes. Anthony, you've got a collar on as well. So what's it for you?
And a name tag. I have a name tag.
So my pup name is Tara.
And on the reverse side, it actually has your handler's phone number.
So it actually has my alpha. So alpha. Mine's slightly different. So I'm collared by my alpha. So he, to me, is a mentor more than an owner. So he's represents, a strong figure in my life that I can, fall back on if I need to and ask for advice. And he helps me out in special situations and stuff like that.
So I know in the kink community, collaring ceremony for the leather community, it's quite a special moment, and there can be a ceremony. Was there a sort of a ceremony for you guys?
Mine actually was the night I met my alpha.
That was quick. Wow, that's a.
So I'd say for most people, it's something that you'd kind of build your way up to. But me and my alpha actually hit it off really well, really quickly. And I've been one of his pups for 6 months now, and we haven't looked back pretty much. It's like we've been best friends for
years. I don't know if I agree with you on that one. I think that when you get a pup, you put a collar on it straight away. It's something that you do as a caring thing because you put a collar on it, you give it a name tag, you put your phone number on it, so it's well protected.
And you kind of love them unconditionally from
absolutely
the get-go, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a bit lucky in the sense that I have access to my own key. Again, with my work profession and stuff, it can be a bit annoying to have it on full time. Yeah. So yeah. I have one key, my Alpha has one key. Also for travel, it's a bit nice to be able to take it off and not have to explain to customs why you have a metal chain with
that would set off the alarm.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Taylor, have you ever travelled with it?
I travelled to Mardi Gras wearing not this exact same collar, but it was a metal collar, and it didn't even set off the metal detectors.
Oh, that was fine. I was going to say, that would be really...
after the metal detector, I realised, oh, I've actually got this still on.
Because it would be really bad if you went through and they'd say, take it off, and you go, I can't. So what do you do? You know,
Yeah, thankfully for mine, mine's made of, aluminium links, so I have had someone put a lead on this collar and actually give it a tug, and I've gone in the other direction, it snapped in half.
Oh,
so
one thing I'm a bit curious about, when you talked about the gear before, and Taylor, you said that you make your own, but my experience with leather is it can be pretty pricey. So what kind of, I mean, there's some, we've been looking online as we've been speaking, and some of these hoods are looking really, really swish and swept up. What kind of money would you be paying for them?
In terms of hoods, the cheapest out there you're looking at just over $100,
and
it goes all the way up from there. The most expensive hood I've seen is over $1,000.
That's a hell of a lot of money. What about the tails? I've noticed in some of the photographs there are tails as well. What would you pay for a tail, for a good tail?
So tails, I think mine cost about $80, and that's like premium silicon tail. So that'd be like a middle of the range tail.
Is that a strap on or a plug in?
Mine's a plug in.
Okay.
I have both.
But yeah, I'd say
public use.
Cheaper tails can be around the $40 to $50 mark, and I think the more expensive is about $200-ish.
And what about the knee pads and the paw?
Pads, I think you can just go down to your local Rebel Sports and get a set of knee pads.
Yeah, they're not pop specific.
I think you can buy them on specific kink websites, but yeah.
Yeah, Dylan, you want
to... You can even just go to a secondhand store and buy a pair of rollerblade knee pads.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much what I've got. It's just knee pads. It works. It's effective. And the same for shoulder pads.
And for you guys, like individually, how important is the gear in terms of, do you feel differently when you've got it all on? Do you, you know, how does it affect you psychologically?
I'd say socially, it's that's where I enjoy the gear. But I'd say sexually, I don't really like wearing my gear as much.
No.
I like the tactile sensation of my head being touched and stuff, and the hood can kind of get in the way.
Yeah.
So it's definitely more of a social setting. So when I'm at the Laird or at a mosh, like, I'll put on my pup gear there. But then when I'm playing with my Alpha, it's more the gear kind of comes off and it's just, you know, nakedness.
Yeah. What about you, Taylor? How does the gear affect you in terms of how you feel?
For the gear, I use it more for the social. Very rarely I would use it for the sexual side. But I do find that as much as I can pop out to an extent without any gear, the gear facilitates that kind of mindset. It's almost like a physical comfort zone.
Makes
bubble
sense.
Around you. Yeah.
You are on the woods. Tonight we've been talking to Taylor, Anthony and Dylan about pup play. They're from VicPa.
I have learnt so much.
I have to say, I have as well. And as I said earlier, I have to say, you guys have really changed my perception of what a pup play is. Because I have to admit, I had a strange idea, I think, what it was. But now you guys have really cleared it up. So I want to thank you for coming in tonight. Now, Dylan, you've got an event coming up. Is it this weekend?
Yeah, this Sunday we have our annual mosh. It's up at Brunswick Street, 17 through 19 Hope Street, at a place basically called Splinter. So there is a $15 surcharge, but that goes to the organisers of the venue and back into VicPa, where we use it to run events and promote ourselves.
So people are welcome to come along?
Anyone's welcome to come along, as long as you're... And you don't have to do anything you're uncomfortable doing. It's all about your comfortability. Everyone's really social and easygoing.
In fact, my first mosh I went to, I sat on the couch in the corner, didn't talk to anyone, and just watched the whole time. And I had a blast.
Very good. So, and you'll all be there, Anthony?
I'm actually working, unfortunately.
No!
So I won't be able to make it, and I'm very disappointed.
Oh, look, again, thank you very much, guys, for coming in tonight. It definitely has been an eye-opener, and would love to get you in another time and talk more about it. And this week, of course... Next, on Monday at 6:30 a.m., there's Brekkie Bears.
Brekkie Bears.
With me and Luke. And,
is there any Eurovision this weekend?
No.
Eurovision's over?
No, yes, there is Eurovision. What am I talking about? We, of course, on Saturday night at 8 o'clock, join myself, Michael, and the two Bretts, or maybe one of the Bretts. We're not too sure who if they come in or not. We're talking about songs from the Ukraine this year.
Uh-huh, 1944.
Well, 1944, of course, the winner this year. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get in whether it was deserving or not. But, you know, there are other songs from the Ukraine. Of course, one of my favourites, Rush Lana, won a couple of years ago with Wild Dances.
Ah, nice.
And so I absolutely love that song. And so we'll be talking a lot about all songs from the Ukraine.
Fantastic. Now, you can catch a podcast of this very show, of the Woods. If you want to relive the interest and the curiosity around pup play, you
exactly.
can hear the podcast on joy.org.au/thewoods, or also on our Facebook page, which is The Woods on Joy 94.9.
That's right, and we'll be putting pictures up tonight.
We so will.
You can see the boys, and as I said, we've got a picture of Taylor in his hood, and you'll be able to see. And I have to say, Taylor, it's amazing work you've done there. It's like really, it's an amazing mask, I can say. And
I think that's about it.
So that's about it.
Coming up next, we're very excited. We've got School of Pop.
Yes, the School of Pop. Yeah. They're live in the studio. They're ready and waiting to take over from us.
Absolutely. So until next week, it's a big woof girl from us and maybe a bark. I don't know.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.